You might like to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. And we've been looking at God's person to appreciate, to understand, to exercise his person. If we were to exercise a given person in a given area, then we would, if a person's a student, that's one thing. If a person was a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, then they'd go beyond just being going to student. He'd be more than a student. Father or mother, they're all more than a woman, more than a man, and we exercise that name that identifies them all the more. So God has a multiple number of names, and all those names are to be able to understand and exercise his person. And we've been looking at them, and when we're going to look at tonight, if I can, in Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 1, Genesis 2 and 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, all the host of them. And the word you're looking at is the word H-O-S-T, host, tesevaoth, host. And it is a plural noun. And so now we're looking at that word, and what's that mean? Well, it means it has to do with that which has to do with an assembly, assembling something, having a group, something coming together as a whole, bringing something together. And thus to assemble together is the word. Now, having assembled together, then taking that, so host, God tells us in verse 2 that all the heavens and the earth were, all of them together, a host. God brought all the heaven and earth, all that's in heavens, plural, and in earth, he brought them together, a host, all coming together. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and the term host, as you'll see, if I can keep going, it has to do, God brought them all together. God did it. God brought them all together. And thus, God is the author. He is the owner. He is the administrator of all that he created. He brought it all together. And God is the sovereign commander. He's the sovereign commander of his creation. Hang on to that. And thus, he is high, heavenly, holy, over everything. He is the commander-in-chief. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, over in your Bible, over to Exodus chapter 6. In Exodus chapter 6, picking up, if I can, in Exodus 6 and in 26. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. Bring them out, Moses is to lead them out, according to their armies, host, armies, bring things together. And you're going to come, it'll come together, I hope. And here's all the coming together, the armies. And the word that is used in the Genesis through Deuteronomy has to do with war. The word army, the word war, to be military men in military service. Military men in military service. Military, war, war, war. The army, that's the word. All the way through, almost, now. So here in Exodus chapter 6 and in verse 26, the end, according to their armies. If you would, to chapter 7, just to pick it up while you're here. In chapter 7, and picking up it, please, in verse 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies. So here's Israel, a bunch of slaves, exiting Egypt, and God is looking at them as an assembled body of men, women, men in particular, people, an assembled body, an army. It is God's army, God's host, God's host. The Israelites represent God's movement. God is in charge. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the commander-in-chief of his army. Where's his army? They're right there, coming out of Egypt. Coming out of Egypt. That's his army. He's the boss. He's the chief. He's the head. And thus, over to Numbers, in chapter 1. Numbers in chapter 1. And you'll pick up the word, Numbers chapter 1. And may I go to verse 3. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war, host, war, army, to bring together, assemble, that are able to go to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. There's the word again. War, armies, armies, armies. That which God is in charge of, the army. Hang on to that. He's in charge. Where, if you're looking on earth, where's his army? Where's his, how does he defend? How does he handle things? And his army is Israel, Israel. So if you go to chapter 8 of Numbers, Numbers chapter 8, and in verse 24, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites from 25 years old and upward. They shall go in to wait upon the service. And the word service there is host, war. The war. The war. And reading that. The war in the the war of the tabernacle. The tabernacle, God, God. Tabernacle represents God. The tabernacle, God, versus the world. Versus the world. It's his army. He's the commander in chief. The world's at war with him. At war. And so here, the war of the sanctuary, the war of the tabernacle. Now, the army, the commander-in-chief's headquarters. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Israel is under. Israel is the army of God. They are directly under God. They don't have any government. God is the governor. God is the parliament. God is their king. They don't have any worship, just God. God and Israel honoring God, worship, honoring God politically. They are under the domain and rule of Almighty God. And God is, they has a representative by way of Israel. Now, having said that, the rule and reign under God in the light of that, over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in chapter 8. Now when we come Now, from the rest of all the way now to the end of the Old Testament, it's different. Different. What's different? What changes with this word? Now, in the light of that, remember, all the way up to now, God is their ruler. God is their ruler. He's their king. He's the one they worship. He's the government. But they're about done with that. Now, and you know, so when you come to 1 Samuel, you'll find the word used differently and frequently. In fact, when you get to Jeremiah and Isaiah, it is used over and over and over again, but it's never used in the first five books of the Bible of God, because God's the boss. But now, what happens? A king. We want a king. You want someone else to be your boss. You want someone else to run your government, your wars. You want someone else to handle it for you. God yields. A change. 1 Samuel chapter 8, and you're familiar with it somewhat. And remember in chapter 8, in verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, Samuel is the last judge. The last one. And said unto him, verse 5, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, and when they said, Give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto them, verse 7, said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Up to now, I'm their commander. They're my army. But no more. They don't want that anymore. They're going to be like the other nations. Now, God warns them. If you want to be like the other nations, what's going to happen? And you know, skipping down if I can, can't skip too far, verse 9. Now, therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people, and that asked him of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king. If you want a king like everybody else, you're going to pay a price for that. Verse 11, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and for his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear this his ground, to pay attention, to take care of it, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. You want him to be like them. And so I am your commander-in-chief, and you're my army, and I'm the general. But you don't want that anymore. No, we want to be like them. Then you're going to have your own armies and your own generals, and you're going to be in trouble. Now watch. Overview it. Verse 18. And ye shall cry out... Keep it. The subject context is there, and you can read it at your leisure. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king. You're going to wish you didn't have a king, but you wanted a king. You're going to regret it. Verse 18. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us. God said, I can't tell you what's going to happen, and you already know it. Look out there with your telescope and see the neighbors. You know how they run. You know how Egypt was run. Verse 20. that ye also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us, and fight our battles. Fight our battles. God, you're the one fighting the battles. That's right. You're my army, and I do the power. But you don't want that anymore. No, we want to have our own king, and to recruit us, and send us forth to battle. Thus, verse 21, and Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. You're going to have a king. You're going to find a king. You want a king, you're going to have a king. You're going to have wars, and you're going to have wars, and you're going to have heartache and headache and everything else. You're going to have captivity ultimately. And the world is going to say about you, Israel, because you're going to be in trouble. And the world is going to say, where is your God? Where is the God of Israel gone? What happened to the God of Moses? What happened to the God of the Red Sea? What happened to the God who took care of everything all the time and you never had to lose a battle? What happened to your commander-in-chief? What happened to God? And so we have God's name. So when you come to Isaiah, it is used over and over again, 130 times or more, only 62 times in the plural. And when you come to Jeremiah, it's 82 times in the plural. That's what we're going to look at, the plural. Wow. And what does the plural mean? Well, it is equivalent to what? The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord omnipotent or almighty God. The Lord of hosts, almighty God. Why? Because you said you didn't need God. You had the right for God to be your commander-in-chief. And now you're going to go and outwork it, so that you're going to exercise in like everybody else and seek to survive, succeed, and all the things that go. And you're going to try to live and overpower the enemy and hope sometime, whatever, you won't lose as much as you'd like, as much as you might. And so you're going to find God. You're going to change your words. You never used them in Exodus, Genesis to Deuteronomy, all the way to Samuel. You never used it. I didn't need to. I was in charge. But when I was taken off the throne by them, practically, now they want to be in charge and they want to run their own system. Now, having said that, and by the way, if we took time, we can't. If you looked at Isaiah and Jeremiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all of those history, Israel without the commander-in-chief, and they're all going downhill all the way from the Assyrian captivity to the Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem and the crucifixion. Now, so that's why God is going to pound the word out from now, from Samuel, now, boom, over and over again. He's going to tell them. So whatever they think's going on, God is above them, over them. And they needed to know that because they thought they were running it. And God said, you better be clear about something. Watch. Over with me, if you would. For instance, Isaiah chapter 40. And picking up, if I can, Isaiah chapter 40, please. Picking up, please. May I go directly to verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, said God? Shall I be equal? To whom? Who am I equal to? Well, nobody, saith the Holy One. And then God says, well, let me show you. Find somebody who can do what I just did. Verse 40, verse 26. What did you, who, God? Well, what about you? What about your power, your being almighty? Verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out, that brings them out, that causes them to become visible. Visible. God, you put God, God put all the stars, he threw them out in space, and then you sit down with a terrible formula. How long did it take light to come from the furthest galaxy somewhere? And then you're trying to figure it all out, right? And you sit down and, whoa. God did it. Just like that. Just like that. So if you were living on Earth, you would have, you couldn't have, because you, no one was around then. You would have had all of it at once. And you say, well, it's going to take a long time for those stars to reach us, light. No, just like that. Just like that. Wow. Now, so, verse 26, God said, look, lift up your eyes and high, and who hath created these things that bringeth out their host? You cause them by number. He calleth them all by names. He has a name and a number, names and numbers, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth, not one fails, not one thing fails that he did. All the host of them, all of them, Genesis 2:1, all of them. I created them. One assembled, boom, blob, whole. They're all mine. Now, hang on. Over, if you kept reading, Isaiah 44. And over again, the term, the expression about God. And Israel never paid attention, but they should have. Isaiah 44, and picking up, please, in verse 6. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? I'm reading verse 8. I said 44:6. We did that, right? Okay. 45:12. That was good if we kept reading it, but you wouldn't be there. So, in fact, if you just read the whole thing, never stopped reading. Isaiah 45, verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host, there's your little word, have I commanded. They all there I spoke, and it was done. Just like that. I did it. That's my assembly. The assembly of bringing it all together, that's what I did. Isaiah 47. And in verse 4. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, there's your word, over and over, the plural, over Jehovah Tesvaoth, over and over and over, over. The supreme commander, the sovereign God, the owner, the administrator of everything. And here's the world trying to do their. And God wants to remind the people that would listen, they aren't in charge. God is. Now, thus, 48, verse 2. For they call themselves of the holy city and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of hosts is his name. 48, verse 2. Wow. 51. Why not? Verse 15. 51, Isaiah, verse 50. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. Let me tell you my name, my name, my name, my name. I am the Lord of hosts. I'm Almighty God. I'm the Omnipotent One. I'm the owner. It all is assembled in my presence. Now, and you're going to try to take your armies and your handle the world and survive in it, and your politics and your governments, and you go ahead. Go ahead. Israel, you've forfeited an awful lot. Now, Israel, should you have known in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, should you know? Go with me back over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. May I pick up, please, in verse 18, Deuteronomy 4 and 18. The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of them, I made them, they all come together, the host of heaven, you're going to see it, assembled together for you to look at, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, sun, moon, stars, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. You're going to go, and instead of honoring God, you're going to honor the things that he made. And that's what happened. And that's what the world is doing. That's what the world did. It did that with vengeance all the way till recent history. The sun, the moon, the stars, and the astrology, and all, we're looking to read the elements to figure them all out. Now, having said that, over to Jeremiah chapter 19. Israel was warned not to do it. They wanted to be like other nations, and they ended up doing it. Because you wanted to be like them. Why can't I be like them? Well, I won't be everything like them. I'll just be partly. Wrong. Once you get drawn in, you're going to be like them. You're going to be just like them. That's why God would remove man, woman, and child in Jericho, etc. Because they were all infected with the same disease. And God removed them. He said, I don't want it to spread. And God removed them in his kindness. Now, over to Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah and chapter 19. In chapter 19, may I pick up, please? Remember, they weren't to worship the sun, moon, and stars, but all the nations around them did, and they wanted to be like them. And so they did. They did. They got tied up in it, you know. That's why Jeremiah, Isaiah, God bangs away, because they've forgotten the God who's in charge of it all, and they're down here trying to manage their humanity in their societies. Chapter 19, and picking up, please, in verse 3. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. There's his word. There's his term. I'm the Lord of hosts, you see. The God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth his ears shall tingle. No, you wouldn't go down and take the temple down, take the city. I'm going to take that. No one will believe it. No one would believe it could happen. I'm going to let it happen. The temple is able to be removed. I don't need the temple. I don't need the temple. And thus, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns and all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. And they've gone, and judgment is upon Jerusalem, Jerusalem, judgment. And if you kept reading, and you could read in the end with Hoshea and Zedekiah and all of them, judgment. And you read it. God said it over and over and over again to them. But they didn't pay attention. Now, and they went into captivity. Over, if you would please. Now, God, did you say to the heart that would listen, was anyone listening to you? Well, the remnant was, but a remnant isn't able to stop the flow of the nation. The nation is unbelieving, and the nation handles the remnant how? By excommunicating them from the nation, not counting them. Not they're counting as people who don't understand our government, don't understand. And they get rid of people that don't understand what they're doing because they're doing it. And thus, so you have Israel doing what it does. But the remnant, is the remnant able to get this? Psalm 84. Psalm 84. In Psalm 84, picking up, please. Verse 1. How amiable, beloved, are thy tabernacles, that is where you dwell, the places you live. O Lord of hosts, wherever you are, God, it is a wonderful place. Wherever you rule and reign, wherever it is understood you are the Lord of hosts, Almighty God. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth not, yet fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and a swallow a net for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, God, even birds to get in there. O Lord of hosts, verse 3, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Shelah, Selah. Over, please, as you're thinking, over to verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, sliding down, if I may. There's a wonderful section. Verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Who you are. Don't shrink God down to God. Here's our gods and here you are, God, and we're going to trust them, trust the whole system. No, you trust God. There's no one like him. He is the Lord of hosts. He owns the whole ball of wax. The whole ball game. Now, over, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. And would you please note, Jeremiah chapter 10, may go to verse 6. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is the doctrine of vanities. The source of their system is emptiness. And remember, the word brutish is our English word stupid. That's good. Stupid. Brutish. Now, over if you would, to verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. So all our philosophies and all our rituals and all our idolatry and all our religious system, our kneeling, our rituals, our standing, falling, all of it is vanity. It's vanity. No value to it. No value to it at all. It's a system we have. And everyone picks I haven't seen for a long time. Jehovah's Witnesses came by today, and they came by. Fortunately, I was on the phone, and I said, I can't talk to you right now, but I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Well, I hope that helps you. And they gave me quickly a track. You know. Dear couple, sincere as can be. Wow, I'm sure. Now, God, here we are, and here's the system with all of its caring and all of that. And God said, in the light of reality, it's for nothing. But we're so sincere. We're so serious. What difference? It doesn't work. It's no good. It's wrong. Now, so Jeremiah, and chapter 10, verse 16. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. He put it all together. He made them. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. That's his name. That's his name. No. So a remnant, you're going to pay attention. Israel isn't. But will a few pay attention? Chapter 31. Remember, Isaiah, Jeremiah, loaded with, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. It tells him everything he does. Because I'm the Lord of hosts. I'm the commander-in-chief. I'm the one that's over. All that you've left me out of the picture. And you don't want to think I'm left out because I happen to be the Lord of hosts. So when you try to leave me out, I'm going to give you my name. I'm the Lord of hosts. I happen to be involved here. Whether you like it or not, chapter 31 and in verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. He's the one. You want to know? I did it all, and you're going to have to look to me. Chapter 32. Picking up, if I can, remember Jeremiah's praying that in the light of the restoration of the land, ultimately. So we want a piece of property, knowing the Babylonians are going to take it, but he's assured that he'll get it back again. And thus, Jeremiah 32, picking up, please, verse 17. Our Lord God, he prayed, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard, too wonderful, too extraordinary for thee. Thou showest kindness unto thousands and recompenseth the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Now, chapter 33. And would you know verse 11? Again, Jerusalem is going to be the place. It's going to go to ruins, but I'm going to do it. Who's going to do it? The Lord of hosts is going to do it. Verse 11. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Verse 12, thus saith the Lord of hosts again in this place, which is desolate, without man, without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. I'm going to put it all back together again. Verse 22, as the hosts of heaven cannot be numbered. And that, as you know, we keep giving you every time it comes out. They have a new Hubble and then a new. And we keep expanding. We've got so many billion galaxies, and then they got a new one, and now they had to redo the whole count of the galaxies and the stars because they got a whole new window. And I forgot the numbers. It's the old numbers are no good. The ones we just had, they're no good. They got new numbers. New numbers. Wow. I'll read it again. As the host of heaven, verse 22, cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. I'm going to go and take care of things. I happen to be the Lord of hosts. I happen to be all the way into forever. Now, having said that, would you go over with me to Zechariah? Zechariah, remember now, Zechariah, Malachi, Haggai, those are prophets to the remnant that comes back, and God tells them, same terms, I'm the Lord of hosts, I'm the Lord of hosts, I'm the Lord of hosts. And that's what you want to know. How am I going to handle it? God, how can we ever succeed when everything down here is run by the world system and the devil who's in charge? How are we going to do it? Well, God said, if you understand, I'm the Lord of hosts, you're supposed to trust me. And look to me. I'm in charge of this whole mess that you're looking at. And you're going to have to trust me. I'm going to take care of it. But you'll have to allow me my program and my time and my way when I am. When I do it, I will. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of Israel. I'm going to take care of the church. I'm going to take care of the believer. By the way, I want you to know, and I have all kinds of ways to tell you, Psalm 46. Oh, no, Zechariah. No, don't do that yet. I have a good thought on that. Zechariah chapter 4 is in the day they come back. And just to pick up, God encourages the same thing I just said. Chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word. What are you going to say? This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, no, not by power, no, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to take care of all this. So when you see nothing, and by the way, the temple that you guys build in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, that temple is going to be corrupted, and Herod's going to get it again, and then Herod's going to get the temple and build it for so many years, and Herod's going to build it, and then I'm going to allow Titus to come in 70 AD and knock it all down again. I'm going to do that. Now, I don't want you to know, because none of you are paying attention, that I'm in charge, and you aren't doing it. Therefore, Zechariah, be encouraged. It's just a little temple, not much, but you know, well, you're here. Why not read it? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, you know, for who hath despised, made light of, less of, little, despised the day of what? The small things. See, I said, well, that's nothing. I said, it is nothing. But God said, hold it. I do little things before I do big things. And I let Moses, you'd never say that's a big thing, that I got Moses out of Egypt. I didn't have to do it that way. I let Moses kill somebody. I let Moses get caught. Moses had to run. And he hid. And he did. I did that. I let it happen. So out there he is for 40 years more. And I waited. You say, nothing's going on? No, lots going on. A lot's going on right now, not only in your life, but in the world. But you don't know it. Because we aren't conscious of it all. And all of the little things add up to the big things that come. Now, so, who hath despised the day of small things? You don't want to do that. God, would you give us a word? And he did, oh, so often, God. Psalm 46 now. Psalm 46. And in Psalm 46, you know, Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, sliding down to pick up, if I can. In verse 5, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen, the nations, rage, in uproar. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of hosts is with us, and the God who patiently handled Jacob in his mercy and grace is with us. The Lord of hosts and the God of Jacob. God, thank you. Thus, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Verse 11 again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Wonderfully, wonderfully so. So God, we can look to you with all our heart. And we can look to you. That's right. And I want you to know I'm in charge. I'm the God, the Lord of hosts. And that's my name. I use that name. I didn't use it in the beginning. I didn't need to. But you see, once Israel abandoned me and wanted to have their own commander and their own government, then I had to let them know that even though I let them have that, I never gave away my right to run the universe. It's mine. I am the Lord of hosts. Hear me. The remnant, pay attention. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So here we are on planet Earth. And a wonderful, wonderful, we had time, we could go, in the wonderful New Testament, God, what have you done? You have made us custodians with you, our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the head, you're the one. You're the Lord of hosts. And we are your body. And we are here now. And therefore, we are able to say, we're able to say with all our heart, God, to you be glory and honor. You have put all things into our hand because the hands are no longer ours, but they're yours. We're bought with a price. God, take us and take us in our little bit so we don't get all caught up in the world system and everything that's going on and lose it, God. God, we don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose you in the process. Just because the world system and the religious system doesn't put you in it, doesn't look to you, God, we want to. We want to look to you with all our heart, God, and rest. The Lord of hosts, our God, is a refuge and a strength and an ever-present help. And that's a wonderful thing. Tis va'oth, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord of hosts. Wow. You got it? Yeah. Wow. God did that for him. Wonderful. So now, perhaps you have...